That. That's better. 2 weeks ago, I asked this question. You put it up here again. What comes into your mind when you start thinking about God? You see, I'm more and more convinced. It's a little hot, Jose. I'm more and more convinced that one of the biggest needs in our lives today is to have an understanding of the Heavenly Father that we serve. We say we know Him, but many times we're talking about we know about Him. We don't know Him and have a relationship with Him like He wants. And can I tell you what you and I think about God is the most important thing in our lives? Because it determines everything about us. When you ponder that a little bit more, the way I think about God is the way I treat you, and we should be treating each other. Remember, Jesus boiled down the whole Bible with love what? Love God and what? The vertical and the horizontal relationships. And so this determines this. My relationship with God determines my relationship with you, and vice versa, yours with me. You see, if we believe what God says, we won't talk about each other, we'll talk to each other. This so much is impacted by how we think about God. What comes out of our mouth each day is determined by what we think about God. Scripture says in Ephesians 4, let no unwholesome words come out of your mouth, Dave, but only what is acceptable for building others up according to the need of the moment. But how often do things come out of my mouth that that's not godly? You know, it is the most important thing is what God is to me. Who He is to me determines every aspect of my life is determined by what you and I think about God. So how much do you think about God? How much does He determine your life? Or are you just putting Him on autopilot and going on and living your life the way you want to live? We dubbed this series "The God Who Wants You to Know Him for a Reason," because I believe we've had too low a view of God. There has been, since the 60s and 70s of the last century, this attitude that God is my pal. He's my buddy. He's my friend in the sky. And we have lost the majesty and the splendor of the God that we serve. And yet God is close. He wants us to know Him. He wants us to have a relationship with Him. Not to be religious, to be in relationship with Him. He desires so much for us to have that. You say, Dave, how does that come about? How does God let me know about Him? The psalmist in the 19th chapter, first verse, says, the heavens declare the glories of God. If we look out with a telescope, or we look in with a microscope, it is nothing but the wonders. God is speaking to us. It's all about His creation. So creation itself talks about God. We understand the majesty and the amazing God that we serve, the more we dig into creation. Science declares God. Not only does creation talk about God, but this gives us a revelation of who God is. His written, living, active word. If you'll take the time to not just read the word, but let the word get inside you, it is sharper than a two-edged sword. It'll pierce down to the core of who we are if we'll let the word do what it says it will do. It will reveal God to us, and we will wonder, how in the world can God love me that much? But he does. God's Spirit is what convicted me and convicts you of the need for God, God's Holy Spirit. We can't even begin to understand our situation until God's Spirit began to speak with his word about his Son dying for us. There is no greater declaration of God than his Son. He is the image of the God in heaven, is the Son who walked this earth. His attitudes, his actions, his deeds explain who God is. He is the exact representation of God, is Jesus. And it's not just his coming and what he came for, but it's who he is. And then I believe you declare God to me. Your actions, your words, when I see Jesus Christ in you, I understand God better. All those things work towards us knowing and understanding God. What do you think of when you think about God? So here's what we're doing. Starting today, and for quite a few months, we are going to take just one aspect of God each Sunday and focus on it, and then look at, so what? What does that mean to me, that aspect of God? Well, I want to look at some key scriptures, jewels that explain the power of God. Jesus said to his disciples, when after he told a rich man that he had to sell everything, go give everything away and then follow him, they didn't understand some of his words. And so Jesus said this: with man this is possible, but with God all things are possible, declaring the power of God. Gabriel came to Mary, a young girl, and said, you're going to be with child. And she said, how is that possible since I'm a virgin? And the angel said, for nothing is what? Impossible with God. Jesus was, this is in Revelations, there is a great multitude from heaven. John is explaining this to us, and he said, hallelujah for the Lord God, what? Almighty. 56 times in the Bible that word almighty is used, declaring the omnipotence of God. Really, omnipotence is a two-part word. Omni, which means all, and potent, which talks about the power, the ability to do. And so when you put the two of those together, it means all-powerful. Do you realize that the God that you and I serve is all-powerful? He is omnipotent. When we ponder that for even just a few minutes, what does it mean? Scripture says this: he is holding all things by the word of his power. There's another Colossians scripture that says all things in this world are held together by the power of God. When we start to look at what we know, scientists tell us that the sun that God created, that one star that burns, when it burns for 1 second, it has thrown off more power than all the power mankind has put together and manipulated, steam, fire. For all of the time that mankind has been here, we've created enough power to handle 1 second of what the sun puts off. God is omnipotent. The sun is a star that, in essence, you could put a million Earths inside the sun if you start to look at size-wise. Scientists tell us that in the Milky Way galaxy that you and I live, there is 100 billion stars, of which our sun is just the average. There's 9 planets revolving around this sun. There's 100 billion stars that they calculate is in the Milky Way galaxy. Do you start to see the power of God that just spoke all that into existence? He didn't just form it with his hand. He spoke it into existence. God, our God, is omnipotent. And yet we have such a low view of God. Let me ask you something. If your son or daughter didn't speak to you, but talked to your neighbor to tell you something, would you go talk to my dad? Would you tell him this? And that your son or daughter didn't talk to you, but talked to your neighbor to tell you. Would you have a problem with that? I would. Why in the world would people go talk to saints to tell God what they need to tell him directly? You got that? There is one mediator between God and man, and it's Christ Jesus our Lord. You don't need anybody else or anything else. Just Jesus Christ. He's there making intercession for. You see, God has made a way for us to come and have audience with Him. And prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, but it's laying a hold of His willingness. He's saying, come, talk to me, share with me, because He is the God who is omnipotent, all-powerful. He's made a way. Do we understand the omnipotence of God? We're going to be talking about this in the next week. The omniscience of God, His power to know everything about you and I, everything about His creation that He made, that He holds together. His omniscience, His omnipresence, He's always present. The omnis is what we call them, the alls of God. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He's ever-present. What's your view of God? How do you think about God? Is He just a word that you kind of connect to a genie in the sky? Or is He your Heavenly Father who you have love and respect? God is all powerful, yet He is so personal. The fact that God is all powerful kind of dwarfs some of us. We're not sure how to deal with that. Have any of you had the experience from being up north, where you were driving and you hit a patch of ice? Any of you had that? I'll not forget the last time I went north to visit family, and I didn't have one, I didn't have two, but I had three situations with the car. And one of them was hitting a patch of ice and being totally out of control. And I knew it didn't matter which way I turned, I was headed into the car in front of me. They had caught it and stopped earlier. When you hit those patches of ice, they call them black ice, and you hope for just getting up in a ditch someplace. But I didn't. I rammed our van into the back of a guy. Had this huge trailer hitch sticking out of his truck. And all I did is just take that like a battering ram and crammed into the bottom of my front end of my car. I'm glad nobody got hurt. But I tell you, isn't that a powerless feeling? You have no control. Any of you married to a control freak? You know what I'm talking about. They've got to have control of everything. They've got it all organized. And nothing needs to get out of it because it just spins them out when they're not in control. You know what I'm learning? I never was in control to begin with. He is. He is. And our God is all powerful, yet He is all personal. He is in control of everything. If you don't take away anything else from this morning's focus on God, get this. God is in control. And you might be on that patch of ice right now, and you go, man, my relationships at home, they're just out of control. But He's in control. He's got this. And He can handle it. And it might be the doctors didn't give you good news this week, and you may be looking, and you know what? God is in control. He's got it. He can handle it. The biggest struggle is submitting my spirit to His power and control. That's where the rub is. And realizing Dave was never really in control when he thought he was. Isn't that the way it is, parents, with your kids? You think you got them under control and then go, whoa. Because you never were in control to begin with. But God is in control. Now, His timing is not our timing. You got to get that. His ways, His thoughts are not our thoughts. And what we used to think so and was so important, He goes, no, it's not. Can I just say this? What you think about God is the most important thing about you. It determines everything in your life. Our God is so personal. He is so relational. And that's what's hard for us to grasp. The power of God who spoke everything into creation that you and I see. You know, when you and I make something, we make something out of what God already made. He is the source. He is the headwaters of all power. All we do is take the things that He made and we make power. You think about it. Even down to nuclear, it's something that God made that we can make power from. Our God is all-powerful, yet He is all-personal. So let me just close by asking you three short questions. Do you trust God's power? Well, there should be another one. Do you trust God's power for your salvation? Do you trust Him and what He did on Calvary for your eternal life? Or are you trusting your religion? You see, God is personal. He wants a relationship with you. And you know what we have a tendency to do is practice religion. Your being here sitting in church right now could be your practice of religion. Your having a salvation experience and praying a prayer at one time could be your practice of a religion instead of a relationship with God. Do you trust Him? Do you trust Him for your relationship? Scriptures tell us in Romans 5, 6, and 8, you see, at just the right time, when we were powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. But it goes on, it says, but God demonstrated His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What I wanted you to understand from this scripture is this. You and I are totally powerless to earn or do anything to get our salvation. All we are doing is in faith, believing and receiving it. You get that? You can't do anything. Salvation is something that God has done for us. We just receive what He has done. We fall prey, though, and it's so easy that we start thinking about the things that we do earn our salvation. Some of you might be thinking, all the time that I spend doing good things and working at the church, they're kind of building up for my salvation. No, they're not. No, they're not. You and I are powerless. We cannot do anything to earn our salvation. We simply receive it, as Ron so aptly put at communion, by a biblical response of faith. You know, we have this cultural response of faith that turns into religion. And a biblical response of faith turns into a daily relationship. What do you think of when you think about God? He wants you to know Him. He wants you to know that He is all-powerful. Do you trust God to encircle you? I think one of the questions we're all going to be able to answer in this state is, where were you when Irma came through? That's going to be one of those, like, where were you when Jack Kennedy was assassinated? But all of you knew where you were. Some of you exited. You got out. Some of you stayed. Jan and I stayed, and we were watching the weather, and finally I couldn't take anymore. I went to bed. If it's going to blow down, it's going to blow down. And but my wife got up in the middle of the night. I think she said it was like 2:30 or 3. And it was dead calm. And she got on her phone, she pulled up the weather report, and guess where we were? We were in the very eye of the storm. And she said she went outside, she could not believe how calm it was, especially after the wind was blowing so hard. Me, I just slept right through it. Can I tell you, you might be in the worst situation that you've been in, but you can be in the center of God's eye, and you can have peace in the middle of that storm. You can. In 2 Kings chapter 6, there is this great story. The king of the Arameans was at war against Israel, and he kept stationing his army to try to attack them and surprise them. But it seems like somebody was telling where his army was being moved. And he went to his military people and he said, "Who among you are spies that are telling the other side?" And they said, "King, it's not us. It's the Israelite, Elisha, he knows everything that you say. Even in your bedroom, he knows it." And they said, where is he? And they found out where he was. And he was in this little town called Dothan. By the way, that's not Dothan, Alabama. But Elisha and his servant were in this little town of Dothan, tucked down in the hills. And so the king sent his army and surrounded Elisha. Elisha's servant got up that morning. I guess he was up early before a lot of other people. And he looked, and all around the hills, all around him, 360 degrees, the Armenian army was stationed, ready to attack. He was in a panic, and he went into Elisha, and Elisha said, God, open the eyes of my servant so that he can really see what's happening. And so God did. God opened that servant's eyes, and he saw in between themselves and the army of the Armenians, there were chariots of fire everywhere around them, protecting them. Fascinating story. Elisha prayed, and all the army of the Armenians became blind. And God used Elisha and his servant to bring them in to a city of Jerusalem, where all of a sudden they were surrounding Elisha. Now they were surrounded about everybody else. It totally reversed. And the king said, should we kill him? And he said, absolutely not. Feed him. Have a banquet. And they fed the army and they sent him home. And the Armenian king quit war with Israel. Why? Because God was in control. And what we can't see, you and I can't see what God is doing in between us and the other things around us. You can't see what he's doing as he's working, but you trust his intervention. Do you trust him to encircle you this week? Or you want to go out there on your own? It's your choice. You see, my God is able to do anything. I love that Jeremiah passage. He says, I am the Lord God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? No. You know, I love it when Daniel was thrown because he prayed to God in a lion's den. And God closed the mouth of the lion, but Daniel was willing to pray to God even if he didn't close the mouth of the lion. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, we will not fall down and worship this false god, even if we have to go into the fiery furnace. Our God is able to save us, but if he doesn't, that's okay. You see, they understood the attitude of God who's all-powerful, but he doesn't always work to let me escape. Sometimes he gets me through. I was talking to one of our seniors this week who's fighting cancer that's out of control. And Bob just said, hey, I'm ready to graduate. Let me ask you, are you ready to graduate? Graduating means I will, here's what Scripture says, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. What a difference that's going to be. Do you trust God to encircle you this week? Or do you want to go out there and live your life fighting it on your own? And when we live a life with the all-powerful, the omnipotent God, we know that whatever happens to us, he knows better than we do. But do you trust him for that? He wants to show up in my life. He wants to do some amazing things. But, you know, I've got to trust him. You've got to trust him. Do you believe his resurrection power lives in you? You know, we forget this promise. And the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead, Paul said, is living in you. Do you have any idea what that means? When Jesus died on the cross, His death paid the price for not just my sin, not just your sin, but all sins. All the sins of the horrific history in the past, Genghis Khan, all the sins, the Las Vegas shooting, all the sins were paid for on the cross. Now, what happened next? The power of Satan tried to manipulate people. They put a seal on Jesus' tomb. Roman seal. You couldn't break it back then. Rome ran the world. Nobody could break that seal. They stationed guards outside. But here's what happened. God rolled back that stone. He broke that seal. Those guards acted like they were dead because Jesus rose from the grave. And when He rose from the grave, He gave you and I victory over death. We do not have to fear dying. Because I put my faith in what He did on the cross, He took away my sins. I put my faith in Him. His resurrection power lives in me and in you if you let Him. The power of the Almighty God can live in us every day through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Death has no claim on you and I anymore if you're in Christ. You have a new view of death. You know, so many of us act like, oh, that's just the worst thing that could happen. For some of us, we get out of these bodies, we resurrect into a new relationship. You see, the omnipotent God has made it possible for His Son's Spirit, that resurrected Spirit, to live in me, to guide me, to instruct me, to help me through whatever's coming this week. Do you trust the power of God to do what He says He's going to do? When you do, you become a reflection of Jesus Christ. You see, God's plan is to make each one of us into the image of Jesus so that when people see us, they see us reflecting Jesus. Because we believe in God, we put our faith and trust in God. What we think about God makes the biggest difference in the people that we work with, that we talk with, that we go to market with, that we drive with. How we act this week is determined by our faith and our trust and our belief in what we think about God and His Son Jesus Christ and His living Spirit in us. And what He wants from us is to be a reflection of His Son to the people around us. If we were to go in between Las Vegas and L.A., California, out in the desert, people have said it looks like a burning fiery ball out in the middle of the desert. And what they're seeing is a tower that's over 300 feet high, and at the top is this receiver that's 40-some feet wide and 24 foot tall. And it is called Solar One because it's the first solar unit that is developing power. And at the bottom of this tower are 12 huge mirrors that are computer generated. They follow the sun from the moment that it breaks. They're calculated with computers, and they send their reflection up into that tower, and these mirrors move according to the sun to reflect power. It is over 1,175 degrees in that tower, all because of those mirrors reflecting that power. Now, what's interesting is all that power that comes out of those mirrors and that receiver is not anything that they produce. It's just reflecting the power of the sun. Can you begin to imagine you and I living all week long in the total reflection of Jesus Christ as we move through each day? We reflect Jesus to other people in the way we think, that's where it starts, in the way we speak, in the way we feel, in the way we act, we're reflecting Jesus Christ. Because that's God's ultimate desire. The God who is omnipotent, all-powerful, wants us to trust Him. He's got our salvation covered. We don't have to earn it. You can't. We don't do what we do to earn our salvation. We do what we do because we have salvation. It's a response of faith. It's not a religion of earning. Please get that. No matter what's going to happen to you this week, do you trust Him to encircle you and be at peace in the eye of a storm? Do you believe that His resurrection power is actually living in you? And when you can't do things, you know what, God, I look back at my life, the ability to do things like quit thinking so horribly negative and wrong about people is really the power of God's Spirit living in me. The ability to do good things. To be generous is not Dave, it's just the power of Jesus' resurrection living in me. The ability to be kind to people who are mean, it's not me, it's God's power living in me. Do you believe in the resurrection power? I'm going to ask Jesse and the worship team to come up. I wanted us to close with that song that speaks to this, and I want it to be a prayer this morning. The prayer team will come up as we stand as well, and they'd be glad to talk with you if you're struggling through. You're in the middle of a storm. They'd be glad to talk with you about it. If you don't know what it means to be in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ and what He did, we'd love to talk with you about that. The people will be up here. Most of us have made this decision, and here's what I want us to do. I want us to sing this song recognizing the power of an all-powerful God to work and live in us as we leave here this week. And we go live our lives. We are reflectors as we are in relationship with God in His Son. His Holy Spirit is guiding us to reflect Jesus Christ in the lives of people that we touch and that we reach. Would you stand with me and let's pray. Father, You have power that we can't even begin to understand. You who spoke everything into existence. There is nothing too hard for You. No difficulty in our lives, in our bodies, in our minds, in our spirits, is too hard for You. Help us to surrender and submit. Father, we think we're in control and we're not. A lot of us are just going to have to keep sliding around on black ice in life's struggle because we don't believe in Your ability. We haven't trusted you. We've tried to work things out on our own. Help us to submit and surrender and to trust you. It's my prayer in Christ's name. Amen.